Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 77 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we have a special topic that was a listener request. So we're going to be talking about how to deal with the unknown when you're in a long distance relationship. I think a lot of people are feeling this even more right now because of what's happening in the world, but it's also important to highlight that dealing with the unknown and feeling like things are up in the air is quite common amongst people in long distance relationships, and it's just something you kind of have to work through. So we wanted to talk about ways to do that today. One of the best ways we can offer advice on that is through our Ultimate Guide to Long Distance, which is our downloadable ebook covering pretty much everything we could think that we wanted to know about when we were going through this, and kind of the information we wish had been out there, from, you know, how to make it more enjoyable when you are apart to how and kind of close the distance and seal everything up once you have closed the distance.
And I've had good feedback to it. People seem to be finding it helpful and valuable. And I think in relation to today's topic, and we're going to obviously get into it more in a minute, but with all the uncertainty and panic and concern about when you're going to see each other and plans being disrupted, what's going to be really valuable in the guide is the amount of focus we put on ways you can sort of develop and develop the relationship, find fun things to do, stay positive and connect deeper than we wrote it to encourage people to connect deeper than they had been previously, and all that's going to be really, really helpful. And then there's obviously things to do when you do meet in person and close in the distance. So yeah, obviously we recommend that one. You can find it on our website under the resources tab, and go through and get it instantly.
Yeah, and I think we really feel for couples right now that are kind of like long distances, even longer distance, I guess you could say. But one thing that we've always kind of thought about long distance relationships, and, you know, we've talked about the benefits of them in episode 2, but you do get to establish a deeper understanding and a deeper knowledge of each other and, a really, beautiful connection that maybe sometimes takes a little bit longer to develop in a long distance relationship because you're so focused on kind of the chemistry and sex and stuff, which, you know, even though that's totally there in long distance, it's not as accessible and not as quickly as it is in kind of a normal relationship. But I think trying to find ways when you are apart, whether it's at a time like this where things are even more uncertain because of coronavirus, or whether it's just on an ongoing basis because you're in a long distance, long-term relationship, you know, looking at ways to make that fun. And I know you're always really good. You were always really good when we were apart as well, of kind of initiating fun conversations and talking about what are we going to do when, you know, this scenario, what are you going to do when I've come home from a hard day of work? And like, how are we going to pamper each other? What are our weekends going to look like when we've closed the distance? And those are really nice conversations to have because it reminds you that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And so often it can feel like there isn't, especially right now. So I think just take that time to take a step back. I think everyone is doing that in life right now. I mean, even if you are working and your job isn't affected to the extent that some people's jobs are affected right now, you're having to adjust and you're taking stock of different things and you have your time's a bit more available. So use that to focus on getting closer with one another. How would you suggest people, you know, other than those kind of conversations, what are the things that we do? We played a lot of games, didn't we, online?
Yeah, and I think that I know one of the really popular activities people do now is watch things together, like Netflix and stuff, which is obviously good, but I do, I think you should do more than that too. Like, it's very passive. You're not learning anything about each other. You're not really growing any closer. All you're going to be able to talk about is that show. And it's the same for, like, you know, our situation, where obviously we do watch TV and everything together, and it's great, but you have to do more than that as well. So I'd say try and not fall into the trap of just doing fairly passive things together. Like, yeah, ask each other questions. And we did the recent episode about the scavenger hunt and ways to do that, even if you're long distance, even if you're, you know, separated. You can, I think we mentioned too, like, you can make each other things start a little scrapbook or a little like a wish list itinerary, kind of like a bucket list of what you want to do in person. So just be creative, you know, like what's your talent, what's their talent, what can you do, and can you do it together? You know, can you collaborate on something rather than just, you know, just watching shows together. And we've spoken before too, like activities you can do together. So, you know, instead of watching the film, you could do like your own little book club, or you can, I can't remember what other ideas we had, but you know, you can do things like that. And if there's, I suppose if you're into shows, you know, you can find the ones that have got different versions. Like the one that springs to mind is The Office. There's like the UK one, there's the US one, but there's loads of them. I think France had one.
Oh, really?
Like they had them all around the world. So I don't know how many show, like obviously that one was kind of a phenomenon. I don't know how many have that, particularly for, you know, I feel like the US often tries to do British shows, and some of them, most of them are shit, but some of them, like The Office, will run for a long time. I don't know how many other countries do. So depending on what nationalities you are, that may be trickier. But you know, if you've got something like that, you can compare the differences. You know, so there's loads of stuff you can do. It just takes a little bit of thinking. And
I mean, one thing that we've gotten really into lately is puzzles, because you know, we're at home a lot more.
There must be online puzzles.
Well, that. But I was also thinking there's websites where you can like upload a picture and have it turn into a puzzle.
Oh really?
Yeah. So
you can have like your dick as a puzzle.
Well, that's not where I was going.
Sorry, I went.
But I was thinking more like a picture of the two of you.
Yeah, that too.
And have that turn a puzzle, and then get two, like order two of them. Keep one for yourself, send one to your partner, and then you can like race to do it. And you know, it's a nice gift. You can keep it, you know, maybe mount it once it's all done. You can, you know, talk on the phone while you're doing this puzzle together. Like, can't find this fucking blue piece. Like, where is it? You know, and kind of enjoy that together. But I think try and find ways to do things that normal couples would be doing right now, long distance, or find a version of that. You know, so it might be, I know, like, my brother and his wife had their 1-year wedding anniversary last week. So of course they couldn't go out for like, you know, a dinner to a restaurant. They could get takeaway or something, but they want to do something funky. And this is actually a date idea that we stole from them a long time ago, and it was cereal tasting. So they just bought a bunch of different cereals, and they just have like a cereal night. And you know, that's something that you can do. You can still do that together. Even if you're apart, you can get different cereals. Obviously, if you live in different countries, different types of cereals are available and stuff. And It's just trying to sit in the knowledge that, okay, yeah, this is what this is right now, but just like other couples, you can take it back to basics and do simpler things that make you closer to one another right now. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. And another thing to kind of think about too is, and this isn't really related to COVID or anything like that, but if you haven't met, you know, if you're a couple like Rich and I were, where we weren't technically in a relationship before we met, because we met online. Enjoy that part. Enjoy the kind of teasing and wondering and that kind of curiosity of what it's going to be like. Because once you do meet, the stakes get a lot higher and things get a lot harder.
Yeah, everything changes afterwards.
Because, I don't know, suddenly you go from wondering, it's like, oh, what's it going to be like?
When it's suddenly real, it's not just like, until that point, you're kind of projecting, and it's your...
Well, it's just excitement, because you can't wait.
It's all excitement, and it's your idea of what they're going to be like, and, you know, what you're going to do, and how it's all going to pan out, and that's all... It's kind of like planning a holiday. When you're planning a holiday, you don't think about that moment when, oh, we've got to go shopping, we haven't got anything to eat on holiday. Like, you've still got all the things to do, and then when you meet in person, you have to deal with those, but then also, probably for most people, you have... That's not closing the distance, so you then got more distance coming.
Well, that's exactly,
and then that's harder.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lot harder. Think about when that holiday does finish, the holiday blues. You know, when you have to go back to the real world. I mean, that is essentially what it is in a long distance relationship.
It changes, because you kind of think, oh, well, we've always dealt with the distance, like that's fine, but you haven't, because what you did before was you had your normal life, and then someone came into it in a digital sense. To then, once you've met, you actually miss that person.
Yeah, and it's actually painful. It literally goes from being this lead up of excitement and desire and curiosity to just this like, oh fuck, now I actually genuinely miss you. I physically miss your touch. I know what it's like to kiss you now. I know what it's like to wake up next to you, and now I don't have those things. So we absolutely understand if, you know, your meeting has been postponed because of what's happening right now, and that's insanely frustrating because you may have been already waiting a really long time to meet and get those, you know, those concrete real feels of being face to face. But, you know, just use this time and try and appreciate it.
Yeah, look for the benefits. You know, what can you do? Like you said, you know, you can get that puzzle made. Can you use this time to make a really nice, cool gift for them that you can take with you, maybe? Or, you know, I don't know, but there's always going to be something. Like, as hard as it is, and, you know, some people are really having nightmare situations from this with visa delays or cancellations and loss of income, meaning they can't travel or potentially affecting their... visa applications, because, you know, the minimum requirements may not be there anymore. So it's not to trivialize what people are going through at all, and I think if you're in the worst of those situations, then that's probably taking all your focus. But for everyone else, there's going to be a lot of positives you can look for, not to completely override the negatives and the pain of it all, but still something to make the most of it, I guess, to get a little bit closer.
Something that I did when before we'd met, and I'm sure I've mentioned it at some point on one episode or another, it was a Christmas present I made for Rich before we met. It was at the first Christmas after we started talking again and, you know, things were gearing up towards us eventually meeting. And I sent him, like, a list of questions. And then I also asked him to send me... No, I think that's what I did. I think I asked you to send me a list of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a notebook and I just kind of, I made almost like a little scrapbook, but I wouldn't say, we didn't have any like pictures of ourselves to put in it. We didn't have movie ticket stubs. We didn't have, you know, brochures from vacations we'd taken because we hadn't met yet. So I tried to make it more a scrapbook of kind of my thoughts and feelings and ideas about us. So I tore little pictures out of magazines of places I hoped we would travel one day. I put song lyrics in there that reminded me of us. I answered some of the questions that Rich asked. I can't remember if I said like little bits of poems in there that I loved. Some of my most memorable moments and yeah, things I hoped we'd do together one day. And I left it with loads of space in the back so that eventually we could add to it, which we've never done. But that is a really nice activity because, you know, you get that list of questions, you learn things about your partner, you learn things about yourself, they learn about you, get to be a little bit creative. You don't have to be artistically creative, you just have to have an eye for things you want to pop in there, song lyrics, poems, things like that, yeah, conversations you've had.
And it's a treasured item, you know, I've still got it.
Yeah, you flip through it every few years, don't you?
Yeah, and it's nice, you know, and then, you know, there is loads, and maybe if there's something you've been working on maybe for... about yourself that you know, maybe you were trying to look a certain way before you met them and now you've got a little bit extra time, or you know, anything along those lines. Are there any benefits to the extra time that it gives you more opportunity to accomplish something that you were trying to do in advance? You know, that's a silver lining to it. I think all the other things, like, you know, what you just mentioned there's not so much a silver lining as an opportunity just to do something different and try and, you know, you're trying to find the positive in amongst all the negative rather than it just already being there. You know, yeah. That is important.
Yeah, I mean, there's challenges you're going to face. They can always set things back, you know, if you're trying to get together, you haven't seen each other for a while, you haven't met yet, and you can have scheduling problems with jobs, maybe you can't get time off at the same time. You know, we were really lucky that I was a teacher, so I had chunks of time off throughout the year and in the summer, and you know, you were freelancing, so it wasn't really a problem, but other couples don't necessarily have that luxury. So I think there's unknown and all sorts of factors. You just have to work extra hard to make things happen. I remember when we were long distance, you know, my friends would be going out for dinner with their boyfriends that lived across town or that they lived with or their husbands. And it just was so easy to set something up. Whereas for us to even see each other was, right, how long is it going to be? And what are we going to have to do?
You know, you can have dinner together long distance, you know, as a date idea, you know, long distance date idea, you can cook the same meal. There was one of the adverts here for the Alexa with the video on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the advert, she was calling her dad for instruction how to cook the meal, but you could have a video call while you're both preparing it, you know, making it together, and then you can sit down and have it together, you know. So if you're in the habit of doing things like watching a Netflix show at the same time through Skype or FaceTime or whatever, you know, you can do other activities through it, and you know, you could do the puzzle work, and you can have each of your own puzzle and do it at the same time. You can cooking a meal, eating together. So a lot of things that you could do, a lot of things you would do in real life together, you know, in the same space together, there can be workarounds for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to get creative, really, and you don't have to think of it yourself. Just look online, you know, look in our guide, of course, is a great place to start, but there's tons of places online in our blogs. You know, on our website, we have long-distance date ideas and different activities you can do. But I think...
Well, you can do personal stuff too, you know, if you were going to be seeing each other, maybe not for the first time, but, you know, a subsequent time, you can do some, you know, work on some nice photography of you, put a calendar together for them, or especially if this is going to be your only visit this year, you can do like a 2020 calendar for them, or some erotic art or whatever it may be, you know, but you can work on something fun and unusual for them.
I do have to say that people will probably be finding very creative ways to make phone sex even hotter right now, because yeah, it's going to be tidying you over even more than it already does. But I think just to kind of pull back and look at what the unknown factors are in long-distance relationships and why those are so hard for people. So obviously you have the unknown factor of how often you're going to be able to see each other at first. Eventually you kind of figure out a routine that works for you as a couple, whether that's every other month, every weekend, depending how far apart you are. And I mean, at first, that kind of not knowing how you're going to navigate that can be a bit overwhelming, especially if you're like, I want to see each other every week. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. You know, that's kind of a thing to consider. And just be aware of your feelings about, and know that you have to have those conversations. Another thing that people can really struggle with is the whole jealousy aspect and the unknown factor of, where is she right now? What is she doing? You know, oh, she's been mentioning this guy a lot that she works with, or he's talking about this friend a lot. What does that mean? So I think that there just is a lot of unknown in long-distance relationships that can really put people on edge. Visa aspects, when you're going to close the distance, even if you don't have to apply for a visa, if you live in the same country, or even the same county or state or whatever, however your country is set up, you still have logistics to figure out and how jobs are going to work. And I think that's what people struggle with. And I think, that and the visa, like the unknown factor of that, is what our listener was asking about directly.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I think more than anything, you know, we can kind of sit here all day and give ideas and things of how to fill your time, but I think what people really need at the minute is understanding and patience and some empathy. And the empathy is somewhat easier now because literally everyone's going through the same thing, but it's also hard because not everyone deals with it in the same way. You know, some people are really struggling and some people are having the time of their lives. And for some people, not necessarily in long distance, but generally for some people, this is something of a paid holiday. Okay, you're not getting 100% salary, but you know, you're being paid to stay home.
Well, that depends. Work. I mean, not people in America. Like, it depends what country you're in. Like, maybe in the UK.
So, yeah, some people here, you know, on the furlough scheme. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily a desirable thing. But no. There are some people for whom it's, I know I'm going to go back to work. It's not deemed essential enough to stay open now, but my company couldn't afford to lose me, so I've got job security, and at the minute I'm being paid to stay home and not work. If you're in that situation, a lot of people are probably enjoying that. It's the time of year where the weather's getting kind of nice, you know. So I think if you're in that situation where you're, you know, like, well, what are you worried about? This is great, enjoy it. That person may struggle to have the empathy that someone on the opposite end of that needs. And in a relationship, that's going to be really important. So I think, you know, aside from, in a lot of ways, the things to do that we've been discussing can be, you know, good distractions or whatever, and they're good things to do. But I think the big ticket item really is to be supportive. This is like an unusual test, I think, for couples. You wouldn't normally have to deal with something this big, and you can sort of rise to the occasion in showing the other one how supportive and understanding and patient and empathetic you can be.
Yeah, and I think being in a long-distance relationship, period, without a situation like this right now, requires that. You know, you have to support each other. And one of the things that I know myself and other people, friends of mine that have been in long-distance relationships, it takes a lot of reassurance that you're going to be able to figure this out. And I know, you know, I had to ask you constantly, like, are we going to be able to figure this out? Like, it felt so big, you know, for us because the distance and the time difference and the miles and visas and everything. And also we'd had a difficult patch prior. So it was, God, like, are you going to hurt me again? Like,
and what we were very fortunate, actually, when you consider, maybe we took it for granted, I think, but when you think about some of the situations our listeners are in, we were physically in the same place when we applied for the visa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been an awful lot harder if we weren't. If I'd been here and you'd been in America and you were doing all that visa stuff, it's not something we could have done together like it was. And maybe that would have influenced, you know, maybe it would have been too hard for you to do. You know, you would have been only around people telling you not to go and not to do it.
No one flat out said to me not to go and not to do it.
Well, maybe they would have done.
Maybe.
If you went on your own, you know. But the situation's somewhat different. And so...
But people couldn't... You know, if you know you're going to be filling out an application, obviously right now it's tricky, but you can go and spend a couple of weeks and get all the paperwork together and stuff together. And then...
Yeah, you can. I'm just saying, you know, we were fortunate enough to be in a position where we... That was something we did together in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, so all the, whenever you had those concerns and issues and are we going to be able to do this, I was there for you to ask and reassure you in person.
And to help me figure out questions that I didn't understand. And
yeah, whereas if I'd been here, it would have been like, there was less I could do.
It would have felt like it was on me.
You know, totally. Over there, I could make the phone call to the embassy. You know, so I, you know, when I needed to, I could kind of take charge of the bits that you were struggling with, and do, I couldn't really have done that from here.
But you could have still, like, there are still ways to support each other when you're apart. You're right; it's absolutely easier if you're together. But you know, you can still go online and say, "Hey, I found this really helpful article."
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be really important that you just be mindful. And it could be that both of you are in the exact same headspace of how much of a struggle this is, and that could be. We're both absolutely fine. It could be we're both absolutely devastated by this. But if you're in the same headspace, it can be a little bit easier because you're on the same wavelength. And
yeah.
If you're on different wavelengths, then you've got a slight challenge in making sure that you're showing up enough.
Yeah. And I think whether or not you're in a time period that's being completely ruined by a pandemic like this, or whether it's just kind of a bit more normal, something that really helps is to have a loose idea of when you're going to see each other again. And we talk about this a lot in all of our episodes. But when you leave and you don't know when you're going to see each other again, it's even harder on the relationship than the miles can be, because you feel like you have nothing to work towards or to look forward to or to kind of put on your calendar as a reminder that, like, okay, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. And, you know, we did that. We kind of parted after our first meeting, spending a month together. And I think part of the reason it was so hard for me to get on the plane and go away was because we didn't really know yet when we were going to see each other again. We didn't really know what your situation was going to be. Your family was maybe going to be immigrating to Canada. I didn't know where I'd see you next, whether you'd come to America, whether I'd come back to England, or whether I'd end up in Canada. Like, we just didn't know. And that was really, really hard. And after a few months, nothing was happening with your family moving. I was finally like, right, you're probably going to still be in England for Christmas, right? And if not, you can be there. Yeah, okay, I'm coming to see you in England for Christmas. And that did make things, you know, a little bit easier to know that's when we would see each other again. And I have a friend who's in a long-distance relationship right now, and that's one of the first things I said to her was, make sure every time you say goodbye, you have a rough idea of when you're going to see each other again.
Yeah, you haven't got to buy the tickets, but you have an idea of what's what.
Yeah, something to work towards. If you can buy the ticket, that's amazing.
And you know, that's the other thing you can do is use... like, plan the trip, but do it together. Like, use something like, a collaborative tool. And there's millions of them. If you've got, like, a shared Evernote or Google Spreadsheet or whatever. But, you know, you can build a little plan, and you can include your maps. And if you're going to be traveling, you know, what route you're going to be taking. And right down to what time the train's going to be and what hotels you're going to stay in and what activities you want to do. And that's something really nice to work on together. And it's a nice distraction, but it's a really positive headspace of this is what we're going to do, you know.
Yeah, it's that knowledge and reaffirmation of there is light at the end of this tunnel. Something else you can do, which we're going to have, we have an upcoming episode focusing on this, but you can also was it called Evernote, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we used that before.
I have done, yeah.
Well, I think we used it for a trip that we never ended up taking. Italy. Yeah. But you can plan, like, what your house is going to look like together or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Things, you know, wedding ideas, if you know, even if you're not engaged yet, but if you know...
Yeah, start a little Pinterest board.
Yeah, or whatever you want to do. But I think just have things that you feel like you're in together, you're focusing on together, and you're working towards together, because it just makes it all... a lot more manageable. And I think the thing, kind of going back to visas, we veered away a little bit, it's a really strange one, because even though you're at the applying stage potentially, if that is your situation, you know, you are doing something, you are taking action, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and that can be really empowering, because you feel like you're doing what it's going to take to close that distance. But it's also out of your control to some aspects, because the answer isn't up to you. You might have lost a page of the application. You might not have realized there was a requirement that you don't meet, and then you can come back and say no. I mean, we mentioned a long time ago that part of the reason the whole idea for this podcast came to be was because we were on kind of a, not second honeymoon, but we went back to where we had our honeymoon, and we were staying in a bed and breakfast, and the other couple there was also American/British. He was American and she was British. And he said that he got denied like twice because he did his paperwork wrong.
Uh-huh.
And so there is fear in it. So there's a weird combination of, yes, I'm doing something, we're almost there, but that also unknown factor of what's the answer going to be. And I remember after we got engaged and I'd sent off my paperwork, it was the weekend before my brother's wedding, and his first wedding, and we went and saw loads of family, and everyone was really excited because they knew that we'd gotten engaged, and I had a really hard time feeling good about that, because I had just sent off my application, we didn't have the answer yet, and I couldn't help but feel like, God, what if they say no?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Like, I almost couldn't let myself enjoy that time like you normally would when you first get engaged and are thinking about your wedding and being together and building this life for us. I couldn't relax about that until we got the answer, which thankfully only took a long weekend, I think. I think mm-hmm. it was the weekend we got after, the couple days after we got back from my brother's wedding weekend, we had the answer. But yeah, it's really daunting, you know, sometimes. I guess, you know, if you only live an hour or two away and you see each other a couple times a week, you know, maybe it doesn't feel like that so much, but when you have miles and borders between you, there's a lot of unknown. And all you can really do is take the right steps. So saving your money, spending that on visiting each other, on any visa requirements, being loyal to one another, taking negativity out of the relationship, and working on ways to really solidify what you have. That's really all you can do, because unknown factors are always going to be there. And whether we like it or not, even after you close the distance, there's going to be unknown factors. You know, I have had to think a lot about what would happen if I got an emergency call from my family back home and I have to drop everything and get home, or what if one of us loses our jobs or whatever. You know, there's always going to be unknown factors. They feel a lot bigger and like they affect you more directly when you're a long distance relationship. But perspective is so important. And it's so important to rely on each other, like you were saying a little bit ago, about supporting each other and that constant reassurance. And finally, it's really important to remind both of yourselves that this situation is temporary. And that's twofold. This coronavirus situation is temporary. We have no idea how long it's going to go on for, and we have no idea how kind of far-flung the effects of this are going to be into our life after this. But it is temporary. The world will pick up. We will be able to fly places again. A lot of airlines and stuff are already starting to run, you know, more flights to different places where they were grounded before. I know certain places in the States, you know, they're ending lockdown, or they're phasing out. So restaurants are opening, but they can only have half capacity, and social distancing, and different kinds of stores that were considered non-essential are starting to open. But again, it's, you know, it's social distancing. It's kind of forced. So we are around the world trying to get back to normal. So just remind yourself that this is temporary. And, you know, that's always true of long distance. You know, if you're going to make it as a couple, that means that you're eventually going to close the distance. So just remember that's temporary. And that really helps in a lot of situations. I know I really enjoy Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert. And I can't remember who they were talking to. I think it was a psychologist, potentially, they had as a guest on. And he was talking about his own experience with, you know, anxious thoughts and being worried about things. And it's almost a mantra. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is temporary. I'm not going to feel like this forever. So adopt that for your long distance relationship when you're really trying. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is temporary. We will be together permanently at some point. And, you know, focus on that and make everything you do a decision to put you one step closer to one another.
Yeah, and also see it as an opportunity to save more money. So you can either have a longer trip, a bigger trip, more trips.
Or be together sooner.
Well, if they already had, what do you mean? If they already had the money to see each other and then this cancelled the flights and they've already got that one. But, you know, so, yeah, another potential silver lining, really.
Yeah, maybe, as long as you get your money back. I don't think everybody has.
But, you know, so hopefully there's something in this that you can implement. And like we said,
you know, a bit of a somber episode, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we do really recommend that you get the guide, and we've had the feedback that it's helped couples plan dates together and put different things into perspective. So longdistancetomarriage.com and visit the resources tab, and you can get your copy there. It's an ebook, so you know, you get it instantly. And we think there's a lot in there that will help you get through this happier and more positive.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions, you're always free to get in touch with us on the website or through Instagram or Twitter. We're always happy to try and help and talk you through different situations.
Indeed.
And we'll speak to you next week.